Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 12th Sunday after Trinity, calling the deaf and dumb. The sermon by Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr. Today's gospel lesson tells us how Jesus heals a deaf man. First thing that is unusual about this healing is that it takes place outside of Israel in a Gentile territory in present-day Jordan. Jesus also adds some extra theatrics as he takes the deaf man aside, puts his fingers in his ears as if to unstop them, spits and touches the man's tongue as if to loosen it, sighs, looks up into the sky and says, "Ephphatha." Jesus spoke a language called Aramaic, which was a degenerative form of Hebrew, rather in the way in which Spanish and French are degenerative forms of Latin. To add further color to the scene, St. Mark keeps Jesus' prayer in Aramaic rather than translating it into the Greek in which he wrote his gospel. Ephphatha is Aramaic for "be opened." Once Jesus has accomplished all the preliminaries, the deaf man's ears open immediately, and he is also able to speak. Jesus makes a point of telling the crowd that they shouldn't talk about what has happened, but they have been so struck with what he has done that they can't keep their mouths shut, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." It is from stories like this one that we derive our practice of laying on hands for healing. Jesus promised the disciples that they would do not only the works he did, but even greater works as well. At the end of St. Mark's Gospel, he says, "Believers will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." We do it because he told us to. When we act obediently, he shows us why he told us to do it in the first place. Speaking for Archbishop Cahoon. A further aspect of this story has to do with Jesus' identity. The church believes two primary things about Jesus. First, that he is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity become a man, and second, that he is the Messiah of Israel. It is unnecessary, and more or less impossible anyway, to separate out Jesus' identity as God from his identity as the Messiah. Today's story puts the emphasis upon Jesus' identity as the Messiah of Israel. One of the greatest themes of the Hebrew Bible, what Christians call the Old Testament, is that someday God is going to send someone to earth to straighten things out once and for all. Israel discovered that being God's chosen people did not guarantee them a peaceful and successful ride through history. The people of Israel were disobedient, and their leaders were unfaithful, so God made them live with the consequences of their actions, which included military defeat, exile from their homeland, and persecution. But God promised that someday a man would come along to set everything right and restore Israel to a proper place among the nations. Israel has a hot, dry climate, so soothing and cooling ointments are always much coveted items, something we learned on the beach. Having plenty of such oil, and thus being cool, was regarded as a sign of God's special favor. As a consequence, when a man became king of Israel, oil was poured on his head to show that God supported him lavishly. The Hebrew word for anointed, oiled, slick, and cool, if you will, comes into English as Messiah. The equivalent Greek word enters English as Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. When we call Jesus Christ, we are saying that he is the one the Old Testament said would come. He is the Savior of God's people, first the Jews and then us Gentiles. The deaf man in the story is probably a Gentile, which underscores the point. Most present-day Jews do not believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah of Israel, but most of them think some Christ is still going to come. St. Paul suggests that when Jesus appears at the end of the world, Jews will say, "Here he is," while we Christians will say, "Here he is again." The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said one of the things that would happen when the Messiah came was that the deaf would hear. Many of the miracles Jesus performed were intended to get people gradually to realize that he was the Messiah. Today's miracle is a good example. The reason Jesus tells the crowd not to talk about what they saw has to do with another set of expectations about the Messiah, what the Messiah would do. Since he was going to be a descendant of King David, many Jews expected him to be a military leader who would lead a rebellion against the Romans. Jesus was not yet ready to reveal who he really was. To attract too much attention from the Jewish authorities and the Roman occupying government this early would have thrown off his internal time schedule. His intention to have the final showdown take place in Jerusalem. Amid all of these Bible facts, today's gospel lesson poses at least two questions for us. First, do you have any direct experience of the healing power of Christ, the deaf man received? And second, do you have a direct sense that the Messiah of Israel came to earth not just to save Jews and Gentiles generally, but you specifically? The most direct way to begin to experience the healing and saving power of Christ is to open yourself to him in worship and prayer. As you acknowledge how dependent you are upon his love and forgiveness, pray always that God will show you that he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.